Okay, picture this. You turn off your TV and now you want to kick back, relax, and completely overanalyze what you just watched. We made Galaxy Brains just for you.
Hi, I'm Dave Schilling.
And I'm Jonah Ray.
We're the hosts of Galaxy Brains, Polygon's brand new podcast launching Thursday, April 22nd.
Follow Galaxy Brains on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app to get new episodes in your earbuds every week.
That's right. Tune into Galaxy Brains where movies, TV, and overthinking collide.
Texas Tech Monday night will be playing for the national championship.
Welcome on, welcome all to the Air Raid Podcast presented by Vivi the Matadors. You are on once again with your boy, I'll be sure. And guess what, everybody? It's basketball season. Yes, it is basketball season. And because basketball season, I had to have my right-hand man, Dylan Smythe, with me. What's up, Dill?
I'm so happy to talk about a decent program. You know, like, in comparison to football, I'm just so happy to talk about basketball instead.
What? You didn't? What? The Texas Tech football team doesn't get your juices flowing?
The Garrett Bay walk-off?
No. Doesn't do it for me.
Well, I know y'all all heard that random voice in the background that came forward. That is Jeremy Gillen, never wanting to be introduced the correct way. What's up, Jeremy?
What's up, Albie? It feels like a new year. It doesn't even feel like 2020 anymore because I have a reason to be happy. I've got joy in my heart. I got a song to sing. I'm ready to talk basketball.
So because you feel happy, please, it can't be sing. 2020.
Right. Doesn't make sense.
Well, guys, I will say the Texas Tech meat judging team has won another championship. The dynasty that they are, and because they have won, it is now time to talk about the winners in the university. So next up is basketball, and this is going to be a pretty good basketball team. A year ago, when I was talking to you guys, I said that I thought that this 2020-2021 team was going to be the best team in Texas Tech history, and it's with all the moves that have happened and the draft declarations, guys going pro, guys coming in, I still stand firm. This is the best team in Texas Tech history. Dylan, what do you think about this roster?
Oh, man. To say the best team in Texas Tech history, I think, is wishful thinking, but I am very optimistic about this team.
Most talented. Let me rephrase. Most talented team in Texas Tech history.
Okay, that argument could probably be made. I mean, yeah, nobody's recruited like Chris Beard has the last few years, like no one in the history of Texas Tech. So I'm down with that argument. But yeah, very optimistic about this team. It just feels like Chris Beard has continued to recruit this identity. And it feels like the players that he's brought in this year in particular have really embraced that identity. And yeah, I'm just excited. A week from today, we get to see them play a tune-up game, but I'm just excited to see some basketball.
So, Jeremy, last year, there was a big weakness on the team. We didn't have a big man, right? This year, it's kind of been supplemented. We got Santos Silva. I know that McCullough is going to be able to play some in the post like he did last year. New Russian that we didn't get to talk about last time, Vlad Golden. What do you think about the well-roundedness of this roster, Jeremy?
I think the main point of focus for me is Santos Silva. Like, we had last year, you know, we had TJ Holyfield, who was supposed to kind of be that role that Tariq Owens was the year prior, but he just did not have the same level of intensity around the rim, and it really hurt us in a lot of games. The one that keeps coming to mind is the West Virginia game in Morgantown. Absolute nightmare. But Santos Silva, big boy, big body, big rebounds. I mean, almost averaging 9 a game last season. I'm thinking my numbers are right. Like, this guy just brings a whole new level of intensity to our rotational offense that I think guys will feel around him more likely, more confident to go up and make those shots because he's going to be the guy under the rim getting rebounds, kind of a la Odiase we had a couple years ago. Just that intensity underneath but with a lot more skill and a lot more athleticism.
Dang, what you saying? Norrance is trash? Is that what you?
No, I love Norrance at the NBA. I was trying to convince my friends.
Odiase, bad basketball player.
Oh my God.
So, Dylan, tell us a little bit about the updates that happened with this roster recently.
Yeah, so I think the biggest news, and I don't know if it's recent, but Mac McClung getting his waiver is, I think, what you're alluding to. And something I think I said in the last podcast, it was actually pre-pod, I was like, you know, I don't think Mac McClung is getting his waiver. And then sure enough, a day later, he got his waiver. So that'll be a really interesting and exciting addition to Chris Beard's roster. And I think the important thing to look for there is, like, his identity, it didn't seem like his identity fit what Chris Beard wanted or wants in general. But if, I mean, to go and recruit the guy, it means he's going to buy in. And if he buys in and becomes a better defensive guy and works on his 3-point shot and like his playmaking abilities, he's going to be special.
Yeah, I think one key there is with, to me, the biggest loss from last year's team is Davide Moretti not being on the team anymore. And it's not just a big loss because of what Davide meant to the team, but also because it was the one we weren't expecting, right? We all knew that Jamias Ramsey, who we're recording this Wednesday night, and Jamias Ramsey has not been drafted yet, but we all knew Jamias Ramsey was going to declare for the draft. We knew that guys like TJ Holyfield and Chris Clark were going to leave. We weren't expecting Davide Moretti. So McClung is now stepping into the role of what Moretti was supposed to be. I mean, guys, Dylan, do you think that he's ready to kind of become that guy?
I think we'll find out very quickly. You know, I would almost bet, I don't want to say I'll bet on other players, but I'm excited about some other guards that are going to be playing this year. I think, you know, Kyler Edwards returning with as much experience as he has, it's going to be hard to get him off the court. I'm excited about what Numari Burnett brings to this team. So it's not that I'm not optimistic about Mac McClung. It's like there are other guards that I'm really excited to see on this team.
So, Jeremy, who's your favorite newcomer?
Is it too much just to say Santo Silva? I mean, I truly think that
this is the correct answer.
It just makes the difference this season. I think Boring. If we don't have if we don't have a guy like Santo Silva, then this season turns into last year. Yeah, this season turns into last year with a lot of talent, but no rim protection. And then we just, you know, if we don't get rebounds, we lose. That's how it has been.
I'm with Jeremy. Like, you can't fix last year's team unless you insert some kind of rim protection and consistent rebounding.
It's just so annoying when y'all both just say the right answer. It's so annoying when y'all say that. I mean, yeah, that's the right answer. But come on, man. Bring something from left field, you know? Vlad, that's the guy we want to see talk about.
I got an answer for you. My under-the-radar newcomer of the year.
All right.
Chibuzo Agbo.
There we go. That's what I'm talking
about. That's the one. I mean, I think just the way he plays, like, the ultimate, like, stretch four in my mind, I think he's going to be a lot of fun to watch in this offense. Yeah, I think he's going to bring a lot more offense than we've seen in a big in a long time.
All right, so let's go a little bit deeper into the roster here. Let's talk about the rotations, all right? So this team has 14 players on the team. Well, unfortunately, 14 guys don't always get to play. And if anything, if we know Chris Beard, he usually likes to shorten that rotation down to about 8 guys by the time conference play starts. This year, as we all know, ain't a lot of non-conference this year, so he's gonna that rotation we might see pretty early on. What, and Jeremy, I'll start with you. What do you expect the starting lineup and rotation to be for this team?
Oh, I've been pondering this, and this is a joyful problem to have, where, you know, we do have a lot of talent, but in that, it's like, well, who do you start where? I've heard a lot of people immediately putting Kyler Edwards at kind of like coming off the bench situation, and I don't understand that. I'll put that right out front. I think people like Kyler Edwards need to be on the court for their veteran leadership. Like, the dude has played in a national championship game. He's been with Beard for a long time, and he's a good baller. He has really strong moments. Somebody who I think, okay, Santo Silva, we got Santo Silva, Edwards, trying to figure out the best way to go through this. Kevin.
Yeah.
A little big. So
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Who'd I start with? Edwards.
One.
Yeah. One. Okay.
So Jeremy, in the sport of basketball, a lot of the times there are these things.
No, I know, positions. I know.
And
I didn't write them. I didn't bother to write it down. Here's the thing. Here's the reason I didn't bother to write this down, because no matter what I pick, it's going to be wrong. Like, if I pick the perfect lineup, it's going to be wrong. I know that we need to have Kyler Edwards on the court. I know that we need to have Santos Silva on the court. I am troubled between Kevin McCullough and Clarence Ndolny, who needs to be out there. I have a problem with Mac McClung being on the court. I'd rather McClung come off the bench. That is my hot take. I'd rather have McClung come off the bench. But here's the problem is that we know that he came to Texas Tech to get more primary ball handling tape for the whole draft. But I just do not. I don't trust McClung being in there for the full stretch of it. So I just, because then when you put him in there, who do you take out? McCullough, the guy who worked his ass off all last season to get that starting spot and performed. I don't know. I don't have a good starting lineup. I'd rather hear Dylan's.
All right. Well, since Jeremy wasted the last 3 minutes of our lives, Dylan, give us your starting lineup and rotation.
All right, so primary ball handler, I think, has to be Kyler Edwards. I think that could change later in the year. However, from the get-go, it's going to be Kyler Edwards. Jeremy mentioned it. Mac McClung came here to play. I think he's going to kind of fit into more of like a two-guard role. I think he has to start alongside Kyler Edwards. Terrence Shannon, no-brainer for me. Dude was the most improved player on the team last year. Kevin McCullough, how do you not start that guy? I know he's probably undersized to play the four, but I don't care. He's shown he can do it. And then Santos Silva, obviously, down low. I think there's a lot of combinations you could go. You could go this way or the other, but I think to start the year, that's probably how it's going to shake out.
So this is how I'm actually shaking it for my starting lineup. So I think McClung's going to start. I'm actually pretty positive of that, that he's going to start. That's what everybody wants. That's what he came here for. He ain't come here to come off the bench. Could have stayed at Georgetown for that. So I think he's going to start. I know a lot of people are expecting Kyler to play and to be. I mean, he was all Big 12 honorable mention in the preseason. I do think Kyler finally gets his starting spot, gets a starting position. Because I think McClung's going to take to be the primary ball handler, but Kyler's going to be the main scorer. Here's the thing. I think Terrence Shannon is going to be the star of the team this year. I think that he's being left off of everybody's radar. He's being left off of everybody's, you know, preseason, all this, all that, the other. I think Terrence Shannon is in for the Jarrett Culver sophomore year and for the Keenan Evans senior year. He's in for the big jump, and I'm so ready for Terrence Shannon to get his shine. So I expect him to be there. A game that we have not said once this podcast, and shame on both of you for not saying it, Joel Ntombwe, I have as our starting power forward. He gives you the size, really good offensive player. Last time we saw Joel Ntombwe, he was like the best player on UNLV, and that was 2 years ago. Who knows how good he is now? I got Joel at number four. And then, I mean, if there's anybody who has rubber stamped their starting position, is Marcus Santos Silva. That is everybody else is up for grabs, but Santos Silva has his spot. So I think that starting lineup gives you the size you didn't have last year. It gives you the scoring power because you got Edwards, McClung, and Shannon that can all get their own bucket, right? All starting. And it gives you really nice defense. I mean, this is one of the things I'm worried about when it comes to McClung is how good defensively he is going to be. I ain't got to worry about that when it comes to Terrence Shannon. I don't got to worry about that when it comes to Santos Silva. I don't got to worry about that when it comes to Kyler Edwards. So with that, but with the funny thing about my starting lineup there is your best playmaker in Amari Burnett is coming off the bench. That's a ridiculous problem to have. Is that a ridiculously good problem to have when one of the top prospects, I think isn't he the highest rated prospect that's ever gotten? It has to come off the bench. That is crazy.
That's saying two things. That's awesome in terms of like our recruiting lately and just the depth of our team. And when I alluded to the guard play and like McClung and Edwards being the starting guards, but that could change. I could see very well Namari Burnett like gaining stride and going into the end of the season and getting a lot more playing time, if not starting.
And that's not to ignore Micah Peavy either, who is also an extreme athlete. Like, as I said it earlier, like, we have one of the best problems in having an incredibly talented roster where you have guys who have bought in, and it just goes to show the level of coaching that Chris Beard has. Like, they have bought in to getting 15 to 20 minutes of play time a night versus playing literally probably anywhere else and getting up to 30 or 40. You know, like, they bought into this idea that they're going to excel better with probably less playing time at Texas Tech. And so that stuff like that makes me really excited about where this program is going. Like, that's an easy metric of success before the season even starts.
Well, so one guy we didn't get to talk about also, who also got a waiver approved, Jamarius Burton. Jamarius Burton will be on the team this year. He's another guy that can compete for a starting job. Another guy can get his own buck. He came from Wichita State. Last year at Wichita State, put up 10 a game. Like, it's not 10 a game, 10 points a game, 4 assists a game. Like, it was nothing. And now he's coming to a bigger program, but he's also a year older. Like, that's another thing we missed last year, is veteran leadership, and not just, you know, fake veteran leadership like we kind of produced last year, but real veteran leadership. This whole team is full of it. I think that one of the reasons why I don't have Namar Burnett starting is because he's going to be in a situation where he's 18 with a bunch of 20-year-olds and 21-year-olds. You got guys over here that can drink. We have got a team full of guys that can drink in a while. So, this team gets me so excited. Like, this is such a good – I think this is the deepest team in the Big 12. You could argue that there are some other guys that are maybe, you know, or other teams that are, you know, maybe top-heavy or got, you know, proven stars here or there. But when it comes to depth, when it comes to the fact that Tyreek Smith, who already had to sit out a year last year, may have another year where he has limited playing time, and how good he is, and how good a guy like Michael Peavy might have to also sit out a year, like, that is an incredible, insane problem to have, definitely. So that problem, I mean, eventually we're gonna have to play some games, right? And so that problem for us is gonna be a problem for other teams that we play on the court. First game of the season. Is, again, we're recording this Wednesday night, so exactly 1 week from today, next week, home against Northwestern State, and then we got Sam Houston State immediately after that before playing U of H. Dylan, what do you think of our schedule? I mean, not a lot of non-conference games because of COVID, but then we hit the ground running in the Big 12. What do you think?
Yeah, I think there's not a lot to say. Like you mentioned, like, there's not a lot of non-conference games. I think getting Houston early is big. That'll be a good test, November 29th against Houston. That'll be a good barometer to see where we're at early season. And then, yeah, to hit the ground running with Kansas is going to be wild. But there was a non-conference game I was really excited about. We have LSU. We had one other non-conference game I thought I was excited about. Maybe not.
Maybe LSU is in January. We do go to Baton Rouge to play LSU. We have home against St. John's early December. And then again, of course, the game you mentioned against U of H. And that I think that U of H game is going to be a real, real test before the season. It's funny because I feel like U of H and Tech have always bad at the same time and always good at the same time. So I'm glad to see that they're going to get a chance to play each other. That legendary scrimmage last year that was, you know, the closed door scrimmage. Some people said Tech won. Some people said Houston won. Some people said it was a straight up tie. So we'll get to see it play out. Jeremy, what do you think about the schedule?
You know, the early non-conference, but outside of St. John's and U of H, it's more the same. A lot of tuning. I can see a lot of opportunity here for the staff to just kind of see, you know, what, first of all, how the players are acting, like how they're playing together, because we have a lot of leadership on the court, which is good on paper, but sometimes when it plays out, there can be selfishness. So getting that addressed early, I think that's important. You're going to have a lot of that addressed in the U of H game. but then hitting the ground running in conference, I think opening up the season with Kansas is like a punch or get punched situation. And in either case, I think Texas Tech comes out victorious just because of how, you know, Chris Beard coaches. Like, we are going to just get better in whatever glaring problem that we have for the following up games against, you know, OU, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, Iowa State, kind of the lower end of the Big 12 before we really get back to it against Texas and Baylor. I think this is a good schedule setup for us. There's highs and lows, and there's like good rest in between. So this feels like it could be a pretty good season.
Yeah, y'all both mentioned that U of H game, and I'm really excited for it for a multitude of reasons. But one of them is that you get a chance to go up against a veteran U of H team with guys that have been there for a couple of years, right? So I think one of the big things that every year Coach Beard has to deal with is every year he has a plethora of new players. And even though some of his players are seniors and juniors, they're still new to the program, right? Like, we still have a bunch of players that, even though they're veterans because they played D1 basketball for a while, they're still new to Tech. So now you're going up against – so this year, one of the big things is going to be the situation in the Big 12 is when you're going against a team like Baylor and they're a veteran-laden team that have been there for a while, or you're going up against a team like West Virginia who's in a similar situation – they're going to be able to communicate in a different level because these players have been together for 2-3 years. And going up against a team like U of H early, who's in a similar situation like that, could really prove beneficial going forward. So I definitely love that. I hate that the Kansas game is so early because, you know, you don't get to really use our sixth man, which is the crazy student section. Even with the reduced fans in the stands because of COVID, I still expect them to be ridiculous. Luckily, in a basketball gym, you can have 20 people in there and it still sounds fire. I know, because when Tech was really bad, there was only 20 people in there. So
I was one of those 20 and I was working a camera.
Yeah.
I had to be there.
Yeah. We didn't get to get that loud because, you know, the team wasn't giving us a reason to be loud. But when they do, it can get really wrong just regardless of how many people are in there. So we kind of talked about some of the teams in the Big 12 already. Pre-pod, we were talking about just how good the Big 12 is this year. Like, Dylan, you said it. I agree that Big 12 is the best basketball conference in the country. The Big 10 is, I think, the only one that even comes close. But, I mean, what do you think? I'll start with you, Dylan. What do you think about the Big 12? Who are the teams that scare you the most?
Yeah, I think I said it pre-pod that Big 12 was the biggest or the best conference in basketball this year. And I do believe that. I think a lot of the big writers might argue the Big 10. But, I mean, Baylor returns literally everything. I think they lost Tristan Clark the other day, retired for the season. Or not for the season, for his career. But they return literally everything. They are so talented. I'm scared of Baylor. Kansas is always there. I'm not super impressed. I don't think they got the level of recruits that they're used to. I think losing Dotson and Azubuki is going to be huge for them. West Virginia as well. West Virginia is probably one I'm more scared of. If they could just figure out shooting, if they had any semblance of offense last year, they would have been incredible. I mean, Sibue and Culver down low hold it down. So if they got any play from their backcourt, they'd be really good this year. And then obviously, you have to throw us into that mix as well. And I think those four teams make up the top tier of the Big 12 this year.
Yeah, I mean, what you said about Kansas nails it on the head. I don't think this Kansas team is that good. I think the thing about Kansas is that they're being ranked very high based on two things: Bill Self and reputation, right? Like, they didn't have a trash recruiting class, but they didn't have like a Kansas-worthy recruiting class. They lost their two best players, and they don't bring back a plethora of stars underneath. But we assume that because they're Kansas, right, because their head coach is Bill Self, they will be competitive. And to be fair, they've earned that. Like, they've earned that.
And they still have talent. I mean, Marcus Garrett's going to be a really good player this year.
Yeah.
Ochai Agbaji, if he takes a step, will be very good as well. They've got talent still, but it just doesn't feel like what they usually have.
Yeah, Jeremy, what do you think about the teams in the B12?
Yeah, I'm really with Dylan in a lot of this. I think that, you know, out front, Baylor, after last year, returning all of it except Tristan Clark, who, for all intents and purposes, was going to help this team take a step forward. Sorry to hear that, you know, it came down to injury, ending his career from last season, but probably the best decision for him. But Baylor's ready to compete for the Big 12 this year. Now, after that, I'm also on the wagon that doesn't understand why Kansas is getting so much love, or understands but doesn't agree with. So we don't have to talk about that anymore. West Virginia, yeah, if they would have had any semblance of an offense last year, I mean, it would have been totally different. They were horrible for long stretches. They were like, what, 1-6 in February or something like that? Absolutely bad. And it was because of the offense. It was all because of the offense. And then you got Texas is up, like, everybody's picking up Texas ahead of Texas Tech. The fact that, okay, they have a lot of talent. They have all of that. They have all the ability, right? They still have coach, you know, they got Smart there coaching. So it's always a question mark for me. And the fact that they were probably not going to be an NCAA tournament team last year concerns me. But yeah, this is a really strong, this is a really strong Big 12 conference. I think the only outlier that you could say is bad is maybe Kansas State.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with that. Well, I'm TCU. I don't think they'll be.
TCU is always bad.
No. Well, the fact that you have rival very TCU quality basketball teams in the Big 12 is impressive.
Yeah, so let's. I do want to talk about one team that of the eight that the Big 12 preseason poll had this team seventh, and that's Oklahoma State. Last year, if you listen to our podcast, because everybody does, because it's the best podcast in the world, I talked about
lies detected.
Yeah, I talked about how much I was on the Oklahoma State bandwagon for this year and how much I like them. Be fair, I don't like them as much anymore, not because of anything they did, just because all the other teams in the Big 12 are just gotten that much better. But they're a really good team still. Like, they're still, like, their best player in the last 2 years, arguably, or one of the best players they've had is Isaac Likely. And he's going to be, he's probably going to be coming off the bench this year. That's how good of a team that they are right now. And they have them seventh. And I look at the Big 12 preseason poll, which for anyone who hasn't seen it, I can rattle it off right now. It's Baylor 1, Kansas 2, West Virginia 3, Texas 4, Texas Tech 5, Oklahoma 6, Oklahoma State 7, Iowa State 8, TCU 9, and Kansas State 10. And I looked at this, and I saw Oklahoma State 7, and I was like, man, that's low. But I could not think of a team to put them ahead of. That's just how good this conference is in general. But now that I've rattled that off, I mean, Jeremy, what do you think about that order, or what do you disagree with in that?
I don't know why Oklahoma is ahead of Oklahoma State.
You're not a fan of
everything again, and they're veteran.
Yeah, that whole team's coming back.
Yeah. Okay. That's a fair assessment.
You're not gonna
So they do lose Doolittle, who is like they're saving grace in a lot of games, but they return Brady Manick, they return Austin Reeves, who could score buckets.
Well, and we talked about it last year. The team goes as Manick goes. When Manick had a good game, they usually won. When he had a bad game, they usually lost. And so I still think that everybody's high on Reeves, and I think he was the Big 12 all preseason team this year. I still think that Oklahoma goes as Manick. That's how it's been for the last 3 years. Even when Trae Young was there, Trae Young was gonna put up 30 and 10. But really, they win games when Manick plays well, and I think the same goes for this year.
Yeah, but I feel like Oklahoma State's more rounded with, you know, they got McGriff, they got Likely, they got Lindy Waters, they got the
number one overall recruit in basketball.
Yeah, Cade Cunningham. Yeah, I was getting there.
Just not talking.
They got the three point god to Zagwa. They got Yorne. Who else am I thinking? I'm missing.
Is Lindy Waters still on the team?
Jonathan Lawrence. Is he?
There's no way he's still on the team. He's been there for 50 years.
He's one of those like 40-year-old college players.
That's how I feel about Baylor's Mark Vitale. I feel like that dude has been on that team for 7 years.
Yeah.
I think Waters is graduated, maybe.
I don't see him on the roster.
I'm pretty sure Waters graduated. Mm. I think I'm pretty sure he was a senior last year. But I mean, still, it just goes to show how deep this team is. I do think one thing on the poll, on the standings there, is Kansas number 2. I don't agree with it, but I get it. I mean, they've earned the right to consistently be rated that high. Bill Self has earned the right to consistently be rated that high, regardless of what how good or bad the team may actually be. Dylan brought up a great point about Garrett. Garrett's still going to be a baller, but I just don't. It's like talent-wise, just pure talent, I don't think Kansas is better than Tech, Texas, Baylor, or West Virginia. Just I just don't see them being better than those four teams, talent-wise. Now, when you bring coaching into the equation, then maybe they...
Sorry, Texas.
Yeah, then things change a little bit. But, I think Kansas, I think this will be Bill Self's toughest coaching job, because for the first time in maybe 20 years, he doesn't have a clear talent advantage. Dylan, what do you think about that preseason poll?
I don't think it's egregious. I'm with you. I think Kansas is the biggest mistake at 2. You mentioned it with the talent. I actually have Texas Tech at number 2. Call me a homer, but just based off what I've seen and what Chris Beard does with talent, and now that he's has more talent, and then I've mentioned West Virginia. I think they could easily be better in Kansas this year too.
Jeremy, where do you place Tech in this?
Yeah, I would place Tech. I would probably place Tech at the three. And the number two spot doesn't mean Kansas for me. I just am not as a homer so as Dylan is right now.
What does it mean, Jeremy?
It's a big question mark for
oh
me.
Oh, my God. Jeremy's the one. Brady Manning plays back well every week, Dylan.
Man. Yeah, I don't see any real big problems with the preseason poll. Again, for me, the big thing that I don't understand is Oklahoma State underneath Oklahoma. Just for the fact that last season, the only sparks that Oklahoma had came from Brady Manick, and I just do not trust Brady Manick's game that much. And that was deafening. Is that surprising?
I mean, he's not a star. I think his freshman year a couple years ago, I expected by now he would be a star, and he's not. So I get that he's kind of he's the Brock Purdy of Charlie Brewer. That's a good one. Yeah, Brock Purdy, Charlie Brewer of the basketball. You expected him to be a lot better by now.
But it's just how I feel about Texas in general. I know we weren't talking about Texas, but like, damn.
Well, let's talk about Texas. Like the Longhorns, I think, and I talk about this pre-pod, I think this is the most talented team Shaka's had in Austin. They're a really, really good team on paper. Like on paper, they got the best, other than Cade Cunningham, they got the best recruit in Greg Brown, who's a baller, absolute baller. They got Matt Coleman. They got some.
What did they lose? I don't think they lost anything, really.
No, nobody of importance. I mean,
nothing of note. That's for sure.
So the teams should be really good, but they got one problem, and his name is Shaka Smart.
That's a pretty big problem, Alvin.
Yeah, like it's because of Shaka Smart. You see guys like Andrew Jones and
it's a Lamborghini without a driving wheel.
Jericho Sims, and you're like, will he deter them? Like, if there's ever a time where we're gonna see the Shaka Smart that we saw at VCU that was just coaching guys up and that we thought was gonna, that I was scared of when he first got the Austin job, this would be the year. Because this is a team on paper that could be a national championship team. Like, if this team had Jayhawk jerseys on instead of burnt orange jerseys, we would say, oh man, Kansas is top five team in the country. This is a national championship team. Only reason why they're not viewed that way is because of their school and their team.
I mean, this is very well the most talented team in the Big 12. That argument could be made pretty easily. But I think I tweeted it from the podcast when they landed Greg Brown. Nobody wastes talent like Shaka Smart does at Texas.
Ain't that the truth? So I have Tech third in the conference as well. If I was to do these, I'm actually going to tell you who my first two are, Jeremy. Number one, Baylor. I mean, that's, you know, they only lost one game last year or two games last year. Like they brought almost everybody back with the exception of a couple players. The only thing about Baylor though, and I mentioned this to y'all in our group chat a few week ago or so, is that they have a problem that Tech had last year. They don't really have post presence. They don't have post defense, right? And so they are a small team. So you're expecting a guy like Mark Vectow, who's really not that good, but he's been there for a long time, to now be your post presence, and he's 6'5". Like, so that that is to me the biggest problem with Baylor. Baylor is a very talented team, and they're going to bring the defense. But I do question, and I do look at this team and say, I saw this team last year. I saw a team like this last year in Tech, and they had this problem. And what happens when Santos Silva goes against them, or Chibwe, or Culver, some big guys on the Big 12?
Yeah.
What happens? They probably get beat. And so that's my thing with Baylor. My number two team in the conference is West Virginia. We'll get to it a little bit, but West Virginia is going to be so good this year, so good. I can't remember which one. I can't remember which one of y'all didn't like them, but I just disagree with some of the players.
Jeremy,
this is Jeremy.
Both of us did.
No, I think West Virginia, if they get their perimeter shots figured out, oh my God, they're incredible.
Yeah, like
we both said the same thing.
I don't.
That is not
Jeremy.
Fair.
It's
that. whatever, I'll take it. And when they're terrible this year, when they're fifth,
let's get into it now, Ali, because we're running out of time. Yeah, so let's get into it. Say your thing.
So let's do some predictions. So first prediction, I want to hear from y'all. Who is going to be the player of the year in the Big 12? Jeremy, you go, so you can't copy off anybody else.
Jared Butler.
Ah. Okay.
That's an easy one.
I mean, you did pick the preseason player of the year. You know, so it's I just didn't think anybody would be that obvious. But Dylan, you go.
Mm.
Well, so he did copy me because we definitely talked about no. this pre-pod, and I said Tristan Clark. I mean, Jared.
Oh, hey,
Butler.
Yeah. Well,
I said
Jared. No, you
Butler,
said it, Tristan
so,
Clark.
Yeah, Jeremy copied me to set the record straight. But yeah, it's
not
easy.
I don't
answer
remember
Jared
that.
Butler.
It's not an easy answer because I'm going Oscar Tshiebwe. I'm going Tshiebwe, baby. I'm going Tshiebwe.
Why?
And I will let you know for my next answer. Who do y'all think is going to win the Big 12 this year?
Oh, shit. Oh, that's weird.
Well, Baylor.
All right, Dylan, Jeremy, who do you think is going to win the Big 12?
Man, give me Texas Tech.
Texas Tech, winning the Big 12. Now, is that a homer pick, or do you really think Texas winning the Big 12?
No, I really do think that Texas Tech has a solid chance because of what we talked about. Because of Kansas is having not I mean, they're talented, but not like this national championship perennial that we are used to seeing. Baylor, obviously very talented, but small. And if we can get that big boy play going, then Baylor may have a lot of the same problems we had last year. And West Virginia, I mean, that's a tough one. But I think that Texas Tech has a solid chance this year with the roster that we have.
I will say, I would make the argument for Texas Tech on the basis that we are the deepest team in the Big 12. And I think in a year where things are going to get weird because of COVID, depth is going to be really important. And I don't think any team in the Big 12 is as deep as Texas Tech.
So I'm going to pull a Jeremy and I'm going to go with the cop-out answer because I'm going to pick co-champions. And my co-champions are going to be Texas Tech, because I've been picking Tech to win the Big 12 for 3 years now. I thought this team's going to be so great. Maybe not 3 years. I'm exaggerating. But this is the year I thought this team would be really good. So I'm going to go Texas Tech. Not a homer pick. I really do think this team is that good. And the other team, West Virginia. I wouldn't pick Oscar Tshiebwe from Be My Player of the Year if I didn't think they were going to be that good.
You're just a West Virginia fan. You're in the closet as a West Virginia
fan. That's true.
Fan.
I do like
Neil Brown.
Sipping his moonshine.
Right. I forgot about that. Yeah, no, I think this is a really good team. They have the size that most teams in the Big 12 don't have this year. And when your two best players are two big boys, and Oscar Tshiebwe also, he's an older guy, but this is the year that he's going to try to up his NBA stock. I think he's going to have a really good year. I could see easily a year where he's dropping 20 and 10. And then you get to, you know, pass it off to your other big boy in the middle and Derek Culver. I just really like this team this year. Not to mention, I do think one guy to be on the lookout for on their time on their end is Jalen Bridges, another big four. They're going to just be a really big team. And so
I think West Virginia to really be good, they need Miles McBride to be consistent.
I don't expect
that would be the ticket for me.
But I don't expect it. For being honest, I really like Jalen Bridges' tape out of high school. I expected him to do big things last year. Last year he got hurt, then he got redshirted. So I think this is the year that he's actually going to do more. Could be wrong. But if he does a lot, then I do think that this team gets even more dangerous. But so to end the podcast, because this is a Texas Tech podcast, not necessarily a Big 12 podcast. We're not going to end it on a Big 12 question. The question becomes, how does this season go? Jeremy, I'm going to start it off with you. What are your expectations for this season? What do you think Texas Tech will be able to accomplish?
I'm expecting a lot from this season, but I'm expecting it to come with a little bit of challenge. I think when we had our successful national championship run, what we had in the season was, you know, peaks and valleys. You know, Chris Beard putting together or solving some problems. And I think one of the big problems that he's going to have at the beginning of this season is gathering a bunch of leaders from different teams, from different walks of basketball, putting them on the same team, like what he's doing now. and then having them play as a cohesive unit. Like, with this, for this defense to work, everybody's got to be on the same page. Everybody's got to be giving full effort. So I think that the non-conference is going to be a little rocky in some places, but really good in others. And so I think that when we come out into conference, like I said, it's going to be either punch or get punched. But in either way, Chris Beard's going to do what he's shown us for the past couple of years, is he's going to respond and he's going to fix the errors on his team. He's going to use the depth of this chart. We saw last year, this dude is not afraid to bench the good guys to let the guys off the bench get more play time and prove it. And that's something that Kevin McCullough did, is he took the spot because he could, because he had the effort there. And so Chris Beard's going to play the dogs that want to play. And so there's going to be a little rough in some patches and good in others, but I think that we come out pretty successful at the end of the season.
All right. Dylan, what do you think? What is your end of season expectation?
I think a lot of the challenges that are going to be presented in college basketball, I don't think there are a lot of coaches more equipped to deal with them than Chris Beard. I think a lot of the challenges could end up being beneficial for Texas Tech. I mentioned the depth being a really important thing this year, and Texas Tech has got it. I think discipline, playing the same type of game every day, despite how many people are attending the game that week or what the fake crowd noise sounds like. I think all of these things plays into Chris Beard and Texas Tech's identity. I think having limited capacity, I don't think there are going to be a lot of basketball stadiums out there that sound like ours do at limited capacity. So I expect Texas Tech to be in the conference title game. I think we should contend for a conference title. I think we should be in that game versus, I don't know, probably Baylor or West Virginia, maybe Kansas.
I mean, like,
maybe Texas will get their crap together.
Like the conference tournament game? Yeah,
I expect us to be in the conference tournament at the very end. And then I think, you know, a tournament appearance is expected at this point. But I could see a pretty deep run going all the way to maybe the Elite Eight or something.
National championship or bust, baby. I'm calling it. I'm going all the way. Texas Tech, 2021 national champions. And I'm throwing the Hail Mary because I predicted it a year and a half ago, and I'm staying on the horse. This team, to me, is set up better than the team a couple years ago that went to the national championship game. Right? The only thing we're missing, only missing one thing, is we're missing somebody to become Jarrett Culver. We have a lot of options for that person to be Jarrett Culver. And in my opinion, it's going to be Terrence Shannon. But who knows? It could be Kyler Edwards. It could be Mac McClung. Could be Joel Entombwe. A lot of players it could become. We just need one of those guys to become our Jarrett Culver. Because once somebody comes out Jarrett Culver, the rest of the team is good enough to fill in the other roles we had for 2019. Right? Like, this team is good enough to do it. And that is my prediction. I think this team is that good enough to go all the way to Indianapolis. That's where they're hosting the Final Four this year, and the entire tournament is what it sounds like. Yeah. And I think this team's going to go all the way to the national championship game, and they're going to win it. I already predicted they were going to be co-champions of the Big 12. I think they're going to be a number two seed, because you're not going to be a number one seed if you're a co-champion. So you're going to be a number two seed. You know, maybe you finish the season with, you know, I don't know, six losses, five. Oh, it's a shortened season, so maybe four or five losses, whatever. But a two seed. They're going to be Ken Palm high. Terrence Shannon is going to be dropping 18 a game, with Mac McClung dropping 14, 15 a game, and Santos Silva dropping 10 and 8, right? Or 10 and 10, sorry. Like, this, I'm pulling a homer, Jeremy. Texas Tech, national champions, baby. By today. One guy we have not mentioned, I'm surprised neither of y'all have mentioned him this whole time, but one guy we've not mentioned is Andrew Sorrells. And today he tweeted out a picture of I said Andrew Sorrells.
I thought I was going to say generic white guy at the end of the bench.
Avery Benson. Sure,
just rolling the dice.
Those dudes look nothing alike.
They don't.
The
they don't.
Right, right.
They don't.
Totally different game.
Actually, no, but Andrew Sorrells was the one that tweeted it. Actually, I just got them both mixed up. But Andrew Sorrells did tweet today that there was a Dick's out in Prosper that was selling 2019 Texas Tech National Championship t-shirts. Right? could this be a
at least they're still in circulation.
Could this be a prophecy? Is a prophecy of things to come, right? Yes, of course, for some reason that Dick's got a hold of the t-shirts that were going to be passed out to all of us had, you know, DeAndre Hunter not made that three-point shot. We're not going to get into that. But it's a prophecy of things to come. Because in 2021, just 2 years after that forbidden shot actually went in, Texas Tech will win the championship and be able to raise the banner high. You heard it here first from Mr. I'll Be Sure. What do you want to say to the people, Jeremy?
That was so inspiring, Albie. I have nothing now. I had something. I don't have anything anymore.
I'm having a prophecy, and it's looking a lot like my dinner. So get me out of here.
Dick's prophecy for Dylan is dinner.
Dinner.
Dick's dinner, sponsored by Dick's.
Spaghetti squash Alfredo. Let's go.
Spaghetti squash Alfredo, sponsored by Dick's.
There's so many jokes in there, but I'm not touching. I'm not touching. So yeah, as you can tell, we're a lot more optimistic about basketball than football. We don't just crap on the team just because, guys. We just want things to be excited about. So there will be a football podcast coming at you next week. We're going to be previewing the Oklahoma State game, where we won't be as happy. but be on the lookout for that. And you know, basketball is upon us. More basketball pods to come because the basketball season is here. And if Texas Tech can have 90 cases of COVID and not cancel one game, I don't expect anything to change from the basketball team. So be ready, Texas Tech fans. Because just like our meat judging champions, basketball will be champions as well. You've been listening to the Air Raid Podcast, presented by me, the Matador. As always, stay wrecked, people.